scared of you. They scared of what you represent to them.
All we represent to them, man, is somebody who needs a haircut.
What you represent to them is freedom.
What the hell's wrong with freedom, man? That's what it's all about.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what it's all about, all right. But talking about it and being it, that's two different things.
Yo. What's up? What's going on, man? Episode 32, that's what's going on.
That's, yeah, in your face. I'm already there, dude.
Oh, you're already there.
I've got 132 ouncer in me already, and yeah, I went for quantity instead of quality today.
You beat me to it.
Yeah, sorry. What are you drinking?
Nothing you'd like.
Oh, some more of that sour shit, bro?
Yeah, I got one left over.
Oof. Oh, that looks frothy.
It is. I don't know why. Whatever, I'll drink it. Tickle my nose.
So, when are you going to start brewing?
What's that?
When are you going to start brewing?
Oh, I don't know. I need to get back on that shit.
I
haven't done it in a while.
I've got two meads going right now. The fermentation process is starting to slow down a lot, but I got like another week on one. I think I got another 2 weeks on the other one.
Are they bubbling away?
Oh, they were. You remember when I was calling you and I was like, oh, dude, they're not bubbling, dude.
I put it in there 15 minutes ago and nothing's happening.
I fucked it up, dude. Oh, dude, the next day I was like, oh, shit, that's going to fucking bubble over.
I told you.
But, yeah, they're fucking doing their thing. My big thing is, you know me, how I watch fucking videos on YouTube all the time on how to do shit. My biggest concern was the whole sanitation process. I didn't really give a fuck what it tasted like as long as it was like a 12 to 15% fucking mead, but I just didn't want it to fucking go to waste, you know?
So the thing with sanitation is kind of interesting when it comes to fermenting and brewing, and, you know, there you get both camps and they're the opposite extremes of each other.
Right.
Some people are like full tilt fucking sanitation Nazis.
Nazis, exactly.
And
dude.
Then some people are like, eh. It'll be okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you think about it, how were the fucking Vikings? This is Viking wine.
Right. They didn't sanitize anything. Yeah, right? They sanitized that shit with fire.
Yeah, I mean, fuck. They still had shit on their fingers from taking a shit 5 minutes ago, and they're fucking making mead, you know?
So the thing is that, like, my brothers, you know, me and my brother have both done some fermentations of different kinds, and he did end up once with basically a bottling that had what they call what essentially is an infection, which means that there was something foreign that got into his bottling and caused some sort of an issue, like an overcarbonation essentially is what it was. So he basically put some priming sugar in his bottling process, which creates the carbonation. It's like a secondary fermentation during bottling.
Just a basic syrup.
Yeah. And he didn't, I guess he didn't heat it enough before he put it in. So whatever wild yeast or whatever was on that sugar got into his bottling, and it was just a crazy strand, and it kind of went nuts. So when you open the bottles, all 12 ounces would just foam out.
Oh, fuck, dude.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. He was like, I don't understand what's happening.
That was, you know, well... I mean, well, because this is such a long process. I think I'm going to do a 3 month fucking...
Well, not just a long process, but how many pounds of honey do you have in that shit?
Well, I've got 3 pounds in each.
Yeah, like 3 pounds of honey is not cheap, right? Yeah,
well, actually, I bought it at the local supermarket, and I bought a orange blossom, which was surprisingly like $4.89. And then I just got a raw clover that was like $3.89.
A pound,
yeah. So it wasn't bad. I mean, my first two batches, I spent more in my supplies than I have.
Well,
my ingredients.
But that's a one-time cost.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. But I was happy with that because I'm doing only one gallon jugs versus the 3 gallon carboys and the six gallon carboy. But So far, I think it looks really good. One's a rhubarb because I thought it was strawberries. because I guess they fucked up the labels and I didn't read the package. I read the fucking pricing package. So I came home and
How do you confuse rhubarb for strawberries?
Well, they were right next to each other and fucking they were red like a strawberry. But when I started, because I pounded them down, they said to pound them. Yeah. So when I'm pounding them out, wait a minute. And I'm like halfway into the bag of fucking pounding and I'm looking at it. And I'm like, why does this look like red celery stalks? Right? Well, this has no fucking resemblance of a fucking strawberry. Look at the package and it says rhubarb. And I was like, guess what I'm making today?
I guess it's rhubarb mead.
But it's got a really nice color to it. It's actually really fucking clear right now, surprisingly clear. I mean, it had a wicked fermentation this first week, and it has slowed down a lot. But I've got a yeast cake already forming at the bottom, and cool. I'm just excited to fucking bottle it, you know. But there goes the whole sanitation and fucking being clean again, dude. I'm gonna be a fucking, you know, a freak about it.
It's not that hard, really.
Yeah.
Get yourself a good spray bottle with some star sand and some water.
Yeah,
and
I do.
Squirt everything down. Well, and rinse it out, and you're good to go.
I bleach my sink, then I fucking fill it up, and then I fucking put my sanitizer in there. Which it's a no rinse sanitizer.
Yeah,
which is cool.
Star sand.
Yeah,
same stuff.
Yep. So, I'm fucking hooked. If I had money from this last paycheck, dude, I'd probably make another batch right now. But I'm fucking broke as broke can be.
Nice.
That's why I'm fucking drinking quantity instead of quality right now. So,
oh, that's too funny.
Yeah. So, but I'm already looking into. I don't know what you're gonna start brewing, but I'm gonna start brewing beer, and I'm looking at the Catalyst fermentation system.
Yeah.
So, there's three of them out there that have caught my eye, but. It sounds like the Catalyst fermentation system's a little better because it's a conical, so
yeah.
That's
definitely a cool way to do.
Oh,
it.
Oh hell yeah, dude!
I haven't worked with a conical, but just the concept of conical.
Oh yeah,
is really
I mean it's
great.
So it looks so fucking easy. It's like okay, you can't fuck this up. But there's some out there. The one that I'm looking at has a bigger gathering bottle. Versus the other one that I have, it's like a inch and a half valve versus a mason jar bar bottle, which as you know, when the yeast starts fermenting and it dies off, it falls to the bottom, but it cakes and it gets gooey. So a bigger mouth makes more sense. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So.
Yeah,
but anyway,
lost that way
any,
too,
yeah,
but,
exactly.
Yeah.
Anyways, we'll get back to it again. I got to talk to you because there's a couple people I'd like to see if we can get some sponsors. Hello.
Sponsors.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
That's funny. So speaking of sponsors, this has nothing to do with sponsors.
Right.
But I would like to play you guys a promo for a new podcast that's out there. It's called the True Crime Storytime Podcast. It's a couple of
The two chicks, right? I've seen
girls.
Them. They're on our Instagram.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't say chicks. I don't. I'm not. That's ladies. I'm sorry.
Ladies.
Ladies.
They're proper ladies.
Right. Right.
So I'll let them explain exactly what their podcast is about.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Samantha.
And we're the hosts of True Crime Storytime, a podcast for all things true crime.
We will be bringing you fortnightly episodes covering everything from murder and mysteries, disappearances, theft and fraud,
abductions and kidnappings, and more importantly, trying to take a lesson away from each case, because every story has a message.
It's just hot hearing chicks talk on, you know, just talk in general.
Just talking general. Yeah. Just a woman, the sound yeah. of a woman's yeah, it's voice. Yeah, so,
it's so soothing, you know? Check them out, though. I'm going to.
Yeah, check them out. So, True Crime Storytime Podcast. Go check them ladies out if you're into any of that crazy true crime stuff.
You know, that kind of stuff kind of fucking scares me, honestly, dude, because it's real shit, you know? And that's the scary shit. Scary movies, okay, I'm a fucking chicken butt, but fuck it, when it comes to real life shit, bro, that's the kind of shit that kind of freaks me out and, you know, go to bed and fucking check every window and every fucking locked door and fucking put my gun on top of the Bible right next to me, you know what I'm saying? Fucking.
It's kind of funny because... I know you don't watch TV, but my wife and I have been watching the latest season of American Horror Story.
Oh.
And it's all about this cult, right? This is the American Horror Story cults.
Right.
And in the most recent episode that we were watching, at the beginning of it, they did like this montage thing where they like touched on like some historic, you know, well-known cults that have happened. And I knew what every one of them was. Right, I have like this obsession with cult leaders. Right. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Cult leaders just pique my interest, right?
Yeah.
And every one of them that they talked about, I was like, oh, that's this guy. And, oh, that's that guy. Right. Oh, that's that guy. And after the whole thing was over, my wife looked at me. She goes, should I be worried that you know who all of those guys are?
Right.
I said, no, come on.
She should be worried just in general.
Exactly. That's pretty much what I said.
That's funny.
I said, you know I'm into cults.
Yeah.
Like, you seriously don't think I would know that shit?
Right.
She was like, yeah, I guess. It's still a little weird.
That's funny. Hey, can I ask you a question?
Only if it's personal.
It can be personal.
Oh, Jesus. What?
Is weed legalized in Texas?
No.
So you guys are same way as Utah then. You're not Colorado, California.
No. It's not legal at all. They've legalized certain things. Like I think they legalized a certain type of CBD oil for a certain reason.
Uh-huh.
But the way that it was made legal, it's basically impossible to get, even though it's legal.
Really? So,
they keep talking about it, and they keep talking about voting on it. The last time that they were supposed to vote on it, it got tied up, and it was the paperwork didn't get put in time or some shit like that. You know, political fucking red tape bullshit excuses. But they keep saying that they're getting close, and it's supposed to happen soon or whatever. But yeah, it hasn't happened yet.
I just don't get it. I mean,
what don't you get? You don't get legalizing it, or you don't get why it's illegal?
Oh, I just don't get why it's illegal. I don't
understand either.
God made marijuana for the United States, just like Colombia makes cocaine for the United States. You know what I'm saying? But
right.
It's just so, you know. Because here in Utah, I've talked about this in the past, how we have a big opioid. Is it opiate?
Yeah.
We have a huge opiate addiction here. And that's due to, I think it's because of the Mormon women having, you know, litters of children. And, you know, that's how they cope. Yeah, that's how they cope with their lives.
That's how you handle staying home all day.
Exactly.
With fucking 50 kids.
Exactly. And we're talking like how do you have kids that are the same age and they're not twins?
Shit.
You know what I'm saying? That's how that's how fast they're producing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just
as soon
crazy.
As the doctor gives the all clear.
Yeah.
Right?
As soon as, you know, the stitches come out, you know, it's right back into fucking
Jesus.
You know, warming up the old basket, and you know, but I mean, I don't know about you. I've grown up around marijuana my whole life. I mean,
to tell a somewhat personal story, you know, at some point in time when I was fairly young, you know, my mom pulled me aside and went, you know, just an FYI, you know, your father and I smoke pot.
Right.
You know, and, you know, I was young enough at the time that I probably shouldn't have known.
Right.
But I like basically looked at my mom and went, yeah, no shit.
Yeah, you're,
you know,
right.
I've known what that little blue Tupperware, you know, yeah, with the little red rolling thing in it has been for a long time.
How
I
do
know
you,
what that smell is. Yeah, I'm not stupid.
Yeah. How do you think you got those five extra joints in your fucking, your shoebox there, Mom? Yeah, that's me right there.
Yeah, no, I wasn't quite that old.
But I remember growing up as a kid. I mean, my aunt used to fucking roll joints right in front of me. You know,
yeah,
my dad would go in the bathroom.
Around,
and,
you know,
it was just one of the things. But dude, I mean, I don't know if Instagram these guys smoking this shit nowadays, bro. It's just like, what the fuck is that? You know, it looks like a piece of beef jerky. You know, and they're putting it. They're putting this big giant, you know. It's called dab, I think, right? Dab.
Correct
me if I'm wrong, but and it's like a wax, I guess, and they're just burning this stuff, and I was like fuck, that looks so fun, you know. It just,
so, I mean, how old are we now when we're like, the kids these days are doing this stuff, I think it's called dabs or something.
Yeah, well, but I mean,
the kids these days.
But how long have you had a job where you can't fucking do drugs, Chris? I mean, that's
a little too long.
Exactly, right? I mean, fuck. If I could smoke weed, I'd probably smoke weed, but you'd fucking have to call the fucking paramedics right after I did, because I'd probably be huddled in a corner somewhere. Fucking, you know,
I'm high.
I'm dying. You know, I'm dying.
Never gonna be sober again.
I'm dying. And I'm dying. You know, it's just fucking, I'm dying right now. But I will tell you this. Here's a funny story. So Silver King 50, our buddy on Instagram.
Yeah.
We go to this show and the Fabulocos are playing. It's good band. I'll talk about them on another time. But dude, he likes to smoke. He smokes and I don't, and when we get together, we drink a lot of beer, and we get loaded a lot of times. But we go to the show, and he has this little pin, and he's smoking inside, right? And, dude, this shit's...
A little like a vape pen.
Yeah. And, dude, to me, it smelled like fucking Fruity Pebbles, dude. I was like, oh, that smells really good, dude, you know?
Yeah.
And he puts it down, and he goes, go ahead, try it. And he knows that I don't smoke, right?
Right.
But he hands it to me, goes, oh, yeah, go ahead, try it. So, dude, I take this, and I'm thinking it's just like an e-cigarette or one of those fucking vape things, right? I take this fucking huge hit, right? And right as I'm done, I look at him, and I'm all, and he's like looking at me like, yeah, that's fucking bomb, huh, dude?
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, as I'm exhaling, I'm all, oh, fuck. Fuck.
Oh,
my God.
No.
And this was, mind you not, this was a Sunday night, and we were working at and I could think was like, oh, fuck, I'm getting drug tested tomorrow. Oh, fuck, we're getting drug tested tomorrow. Dude, we went through 7 buckets of beer, and I hit the fucking vape pin one time, dude, and my girl said, you were trying to bite me last night, and you're all ripped, and blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, well, fuck, I got high for the first time in like 10 years, you know? What'd you expect?
It went nuts.
Yeah, but to be honest, I don't know if I was just more wasted on alcohol than I was the weed, but,
right.
I mean, I know I got a head change, but wasn't like, I thought I was going to go into a fucking downward spiral and fucking check myself into a clinic. You know, that's how paranoid I get when I, you know, when I do this stuff. But it's funny because, I mean, I've got family who work for dispensaries. I've got family who have medical marijuana cards. My dad has a medical marijuana card, you know?
Yeah.
My girl's brother has a medical marijuana card. I mean, and we're talking about a guy who loves to smoke. I mean, this guy, you don't even know if he's high or not, dude. He just always looks high, you know, but but he's normal, you know,
right?
He just got Chinese eyes, that's all.
You know, Chinese eyes. He's good.
I mean, that's why I don't, I mean, I just don't get it, because here in Utah, And I think it's just because the big medical people, and I don't know, what is it, FDA or whoever controls the prescription drugs, I think it's a huge scare for them because they know what marijuana can do for those who actually really need it, you know?
So the thing that I see on that is, you know, and I think we've talked about this before, where it's not really in the pharmaceutical company's best interest to cure people.
No.
Right? Because if they cure you, then you don't need them anymore and they don't make any money.
Right.
All they have to do is either alleviate the problem you have
or keep you alive.
Alleviate the problem you have and give you five other problems that they can give you a pill for those things too.
Exactly.
Right. So if you were to legalize something like marijuana that has a lot of medical benefits and could potentially cure something or at least be a much better, you know, accepted method for alleviating pain or whatever it might be, then yeah, those guys are definitely threatened by that.
Right.
And because it's still federally illegal, their hands are tied and they can't really do anything to start producing it even in the states that are legal. So I actually think that the state levels making it legal and federal still being illegal is probably the best way that this can happen.
Mm-hmm.
So that you give the private industry the opportunity to build that industry below the federal level. That way the pharmaceutical companies can't touch it. So when it does finally go federally legal, which it will once all the states make it legal, then the pharmaceutical companies will be out of that business. They'll try. They're already developing shit that they can't do anything with, but I think there'll be such a substructure already built at the private level that they won't be able to compete.
Right.
And that's the best thing that can happen, to be honest. You know, a major change in the pharmaceutical and medical industry, I think, is what needs to happen. And that's a good start for it.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Now, the pharmaceutical company obviously has a lot of, you know, a lot of clout in the government, you know, so they can push their money around to keep things from becoming legal the way that they need to in certain places.
Right.
And I think that's what they're doing.
Well,
you know,
here in Utah, they're doing the November 2018 ballot. So they need like something like over 113,000 signatures or some bullshit for it to come up again in, what is it,
just to even talk about it.
Yeah, just to even talk about it. So, but what I don't get is why wouldn't you? You know, I mean, as a big epidemic we have here and just the opiates, I mean, it's, you know, it's not a gateway. I don't think it's a gateway.
That's part of the problem is the all the bullshit and the lies that have been spread for how many years now about how bad. I mean, look at it federally. It's still classified exactly the same as heroin.
Right.
So in the federal government's eyes, marijuana and heroin are the same thing. Now, everybody else knows that fucking
It's not the case.
Right. How many people do you know who have overdosed on marijuana?
I think I did once.
You never have. I guarantee you fucking never have.
But why did it feel like I did, dude?
No. It just felt like you were higher than you've been before, OD.
I almost told somebody to call the fucking ambulance, dude. Call the ambulance.
That's because you were mentally fucking freaking out. That doesn't mean that you were going into an overdose where your body was shutting down. That's your brain. That's your brain being an asshole. But, you know, I mean, when have you heard of somebody overdosing on marijuana?
No, you don't.
When's the last time you heard somebody go and fucking hold up a liquor store, you know, because they were high or because they couldn't get weed.
Right.
Right. And they needed to go steal something.
Right.
Or, you know, cause any kind of major violent crime. How many times have you heard somebody go, oh, that guy smoked a bunch of pot before he went and did that?
Yeah.
Fuck no.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen.
Well, you fucking don't even want to go do that shit when you're high.
Exactly. Well, it depends on, I mean, if you get really into the details of what's available out there now, you can buy weed that will make you want to go do shit. You know, there's different strains, stuff that'll make you want to sit on the couch and stare at fucking The Song Remains the Same for 2 hours.
Dude. Exactly. Right.
You know, and then you've got stuff that'll make you want to go fucking hit the gym and just fucking be productive.
That's how my brother is. My brother smokes weed. He stopped for a while. And I think I'm going to go get him right now. Can I go get him?
Go get him.
Let me go get him. Hold on. Hey, Steve-o!
I think his brother might be stoned right now. I also don't think he knows he's going to be on a podcast. He might be too stoned to hear him.
Steve-o, I'm doing my podcast right now. Uh-huh. I got a question to ask you.
What?
You high right now?
I'm way high.
Okay. So you're way high because we're talking about legalizing marijuana.
All right, nice.
And we really think that it should be pushed. But when you smoke, you still want to do shit, right?
Absolutely.
Don't you want to like go to the gym, do shit? You're not like a blah, right?
No, I do all that stuff.
See, and that's what I don't get. He smokes. And he's still a cool dude. You know?
He's not some coked out asshole.
Right. He's not trying to rob anybody. He's not trying to do anything. He just wants to feel good. And it makes you feel good, right?
Hell yeah.
So if they legalized marijuana in Utah, would you do your own dispensary?
For sure.
See? There you go.
That's the dream right
there.
That's
the dream. Yeah. And I will help you.
I like it.
Thanks, brother. But that's what I'm saying. You know? Even my dad. I go visit my dad one day. And he goes, hey, check out this. Whips out a bong. And I'm like, oh, what the fuck? He's like, yeah, check it out. Got my medical marijuana card. And I was like, damn, dude, that's cool. You know, and it's like I've never been to one. It's like, so, and I ask him, what's the procedure? And he goes, well, I just go and I hang out and, you know, I look at everything they got and I ask the guy for this and that. And, you know, it's like, I'm like, fuck, that's kind of cool. It's like,
oh, you've never been to a dispensary?
I've never been to a dispensary, dude.
Oh, it's kind of, it's like going to a gun shop.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
You just shop for it.
It's a little weird at first.
You just shop for it. You just shop for it, you know? And it's like, that's crazy. It's like, and he tells me, oh, yeah. And I guess he likes to get the shake. I guess he calls it a shake or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
So
the
he,
cheap stuff.
Yeah.
The dirt.
Yeah.
Because it reminds him of the good old
exactly,
days.
Exactly, right? Right? It's so fucking hilarious, dude.
Yeah, except now it's that good shit, right? It's that Acapulco gold.
Yeah, dude, right? Remember that?
Like, no stems, no seeds. Acapulco gold. It's badass weed.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I remember in high school, dude, my buddies, they lived up in a canyon, right? And it was pretty secluded. It's up in the hills, right? And, dude, they'd always do stupid shit, dude. And my buddy goes, hey, come on, let's go up to the top, right? Dude, I got to show you something, dude. Fucking takes me up there, and there's this big old fucking plant, right? And I'm like, whoa, dude. And it's like in the middle of nowhere where bears roam, right?
Right.
And he fucking pulls, dude, because I don't know how it works, dude. I don't know what you smoke. He just starts pulling shit off, and I'm like, okay, cool. And then, you know, fucking couple days later, fucking we're jamming, and he goes, hey, dude, here, let's smoke this real quick. And I was like, all right. Smoked it, dude. I had the fucking biggest fucking headache for days, dude. But, dude, I guess it
wrong shit.
Yeah, it did the job, you know, I guess at the time. But, like, after, I was like, fuck, dude, my head hurts, bro.
That's fucking funny. I think the first time I ever smoked, I went camping with some friends. And I was like, my grandma used to live out in the desert. And I think I was out at my grandmother's house with my little brother and my little sister. And my buddy came down. He was already camping in Joshua Tree. And he drove down and picked me up. And then on the way back out there, he's in this little Ford Courier, and he's fucking, bam, you know, trucking through down the highway in the desert.
Right.
We're heading back out to Joshua Tree, and he's like, "You want to smoke?" I was like, "Fuck it, why not?"
Yeah. Right. Okay, let's do it.
Fucking, that was straight life changing experience right there.
Right.
Fucking getting high all weekend in Joshua Tree. Holy fuck, dude, that was crazy.
Yeah.
That was good shit.
Did you ever get high going to a show, like to a concert?
Not going to, but at.
Really? Well, I got high with my aunt one time, but I got so fucking high, dude, I did not know what to do, dude, with myself. Like, I was just like, I don't even remember the show. I don't remember fucking going there. I don't remember going home. I don't remember shit, dude. All I remember was like, fucking sweating and just being like, oh my god, I'm so fucking high. But that's that's just me, you know. That's like fucking, I don't know what it is.
I got fucking high as shit one day when I lived in Arizona when I was going to school with my roommate. So same dude that got me high on the way to Joshua Tree, right? Fucking come home from work. He'd come home from work, and it was like a Saturday afternoon. I fucking sit on the couch. I had grabbed myself a box of Wheat Thins.
Right.
And I fucking sat down on the couch, and I smoked like three bowls out of his bong. And I was high as fuck, and I just kept eating these fucking Wheat Thins.
Right.
And I ate them until I was so full. My stomach hurt so bad.
Yeah.
I was so overfull, and I'm just sitting there. It was the most miserable thing that's ever happened in my life.
Those Wheat Thins could have been 100 years old, and you still would have fucking ate them, dude.
I would have ate them and ate too many of them. And I was in so much fucking pain. And because I was high, it was intensified. And I remember just sitting on the couch with this full-on fucking paranoia. I was like, I'm going to die. I swear to God, I'm going to explode, and I'm so fucking high, I'm never going to be sober again. I'm going to be like this for the rest of my life. I fucked up. Oh, fuck, it was the worst thing ever.
I've got one more story, dude. We went to a party, right? A cousin of mine, we would go to this party, right? And all my friends, I mean, during high school, I smoked weed, not like my friends did. Like, I was like, I never went and bought it. I was just like the guy, like, you know, hey, I'll fucking smoke that too, right? You know? But we fucking got high, right? And then the party got, like, shut down, like, early, dude. Like, we're talking, like, you know, 10, 11 o'clock, dude. We had nowhere to go, dude. So my cousin's all, fuck this, I'm tired, let's just go home, right? And I'm like, fuck, dude, I'm high as fuck right now, dude. I don't want to go home because I know my parents are still up, right? And I'm sure they knew I drank, and they probably knew I smoked. But my mom, dude, was fucking with me the whole time, dude. Like she's like, oh, come here, son. Like, give me a hug. She must have knew I was fucking high, dude.
She knew you were fucked up. Fuck yeah, she did.
You know, because, like, she, oh, come here, give me a hug, give me a kiss, oh. You know, and I was like, mom, get the fuck. In my head, I'm just like, get away from me. I'm fucking high. You're fucking it up for me. Jesus, get away. You know? But fucking, I think this shit should be legal. It's going to help a lot of people. It's going to help a lot of people. And I just don't understand. You just fucking get with the fucking government and say, hey, this is your cut. This is my cut. Call it fucking.
Not just helping people, but I mean, seriously. Look at the economy in Colorado and what it's done.
Oh. Dude,
you know, it's unfortunate that they're allowed to tax it the way that they are.
Right.
Because they tax it like everything else gets taxed. And then in certain, like, counties or whatever, they add like another 10% tax for this and another 15% tax for this. I mean, they tax the fuck out of it.
Right.
Which sucks. Right. Because seriously, why would you tax it more than you would tax alcohol?
Right.
Right? I mean, it should be pretty much handled exactly the way you handle alcohol.
That's because they know what they've got. They've got,
well,
it's a fucking badass product.
You know, but if you look at the shit that's going on in Colorado, like, violent crime has gone down.
Right.
Right? But then they also say that the incidence of people who smoke has not gone up. Like, so people who are going to smoke whether it's legal or not, illegal, right? It doesn't really matter. I think the only thing that, like, that I'm hoping will happen, and there's specific reasons I'm hoping it happens, is that eventually all the states make it legal, and then finally it does become federally legal. Uh-huh. And the testing is getting better to where it's more like alcohol now.
Uh-huh.
You know, where marijuana obviously stays in your system, like in your cells. So if you test somebody for it, you can't tell if they're high right now or if they smoked 2 weeks ago.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
So I know that the testing is getting better now, and it's still kind of expensive, but they now have the ability to test to see if you're high right now, right? So I'm hoping that once it goes legal and that testing gets better, then some of these companies, some of these bigger corporate companies that have anti-drug policies will loosen them up, and they'll be like alcohol policies.
So some
right?
guy like name, oh, I don't know, like Chris. Let's just take this guy named Chris. Some random dude named Chris who works at a company who can't fucking, he can't do nothing.
Exactly.
He can't go out on fucking Friday, Saturday nights because he's got to be at work fucking at, you know, 2 in the morning.
in the morning.
You know, but he gets to have the fucking occasional fucking joint and fucking gets to fucking sit and watch TV, fucking munch on some Doritos.
Yeah, order, I think that
order a pizza. Would that guy be fucking happy?
I think that guy would be pretty happy.
Fuck.
So for him, I hope that happens.
Yeah, I tip my hat off to that guy because I hope it happens for him.
I hope that happens. You know, because like right now, he can come home on Friday night and he can drink himself into the hospital.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And he can get out of the hospital on Saturday, drink himself back into the hospital on Sunday, get out of the hospital, you know, Saturday night.
Right.
Get out of the hospital Sunday.
Yeah.
And then be at work at 3 o'clock in the morning on Monday.
Yeah.
And nobody would know the difference.
And take 4 ibuprofen and be okay.
And if he got tested, everything would be fine. Yeah. But if he came home on Friday, smoked a joint, watched the movie with his wife, and then did whatever he wanted to do over the weekend, and then came in on Monday and took a test, he would fail.
Right.
Right. So we're hoping for Chris's sake, for that guy Chris, that random dude named Chris, we're hoping for his sake that something changes soon.
So, I just don't get how that gets regulated as far as like, okay, how do you determine that? And I understand that the testing is getting better, but that it just seems so, I mean, I know companies have zero tolerance and all that bullshit, but fuck, dude. I mean, you're right. It's just like alcohol. I mean, just because
to me, alcohol is, you know, obviously we're both drinking beers right now, but to me, alcohol is far more dangerous.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, I know people, you know, family members and people, not just family members, people who have had major alcohol addictions and it's caused major health and, you know, personal problems in their life, you know, and I know people who have died because of alcohol.
Right. Right.
You know, it's a crazy thing, and that doesn't happen with marijuana.
Right.
Right. I mean, you don't see people's livers failing.
No, you don't. You
know, people who have smoked their entire lives and they're healthy and they're good, you know, it's way more natural than most of the other things that people put in their body these days.
Right.
I just don't see.
Well, I don't know. I've seen some of that shit they got on Instagram.
Well,
and I'm like,
who knows what's going on with that?
Boy, you're gonna be lit for days if you did just doing that.
There's not
just
much
now.
Natural about that anymore, but still.
Yeah,
anyway.
Dude, I had a friend who fucking, we drank a lot in high school, but this guy was like, oh, fuck, I drive better when I'm drunk. And I'd be like, well, fuck, well, hurry, let's get drunk so you can drive me to night school, bro, because we're going to be late, you know?
Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Fuck, dude. Yeah.
Post-child.
Yeah. Fucking alcohol. I love alcohol. I love, as everybody can tell, I love alcohol. I'm starting to make it, and I like to drink it.
Uh-oh.
But thank God for the legalization of alcohol. You know what we should do?
So beer was your gateway drug to mead?
No, beer was my gateway drug to, I guess so, yeah. We'll just say mead.
Yeah, to mead.
I'm a huge tequila drink. I love tequila. I'm one of those guys who has stories about, you know, one day when I drink whiskey so much, I fucking, you know, try to jump off Mount Everest, you know, but fucking.
Yeah. I've got a tequila story that
is
basically like, I don't drink tequila anymore because.
Exactly. So now I tell everybody I drink tequila now because, You know,
because of my whiskey story.
Yeah, because of my whiskey story.
Jesus.
That's too fuck. Funny. But yeah, I'm hoping here for the sake of the people who. Dude, I just saw the other day, dude, some deadhead on the side of the road, and this fucking highway patrolman's fucking making him walk a line, right?
Just harassing him, man.
Yeah, dude, the dude's in sandals. He's got a bandana on. He's got dreadlocks, dude.
He's harmless.
Dude, he Bambi, you should fear Bambi more than you should fear this guy. You know what I'm saying? And it just sucked because I was like, you know what? The dude's just fucking.
The only thing offensive about that guy is his odor.
Yeah, exactly. He fucking smelled like a shitlock, probably. But I felt so bad for the guy. You know, I was like, just the guy just wants to get high. Leave him alone. Yeah. So what? He wears fucking mandals. Who cares? You know what I'm saying? So what? He has shitlocks. So what? Let the guy be happy. Let him smoke.
Yeah.
Just make sure he has a license, his registration's current, and the fucking, you know, guy's got at least fucking good vision.
Yeah, his dues are paid or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I'm hoping that, and there's been a lot of talk, basically, that, like, once Texas goes legal, that's kind of the over the hump.
Right.
You know, once Texas goes legal, then everybody else just pretty much falls in line. So, you know, there's enough states, I think, already there that once you get a few more, right. I think that the rest there, everybody else just falls in line.
Yeah, just falls in line.
Right.
Well, I don't see how
you
guys...
And then once that happens...
Well, you know why Texas doesn't want to fucking do it is because fucking Mexico, you guys border Mexico and fucking, I mean...
Well, you would think that, quite honestly, that's the argument even more for making it legal.
Right.
Because, okay, think about what happened when they had alcohol prohibition.
Oh, well, that dude...
Right? Alcohol boomed, right? Boomed. It went underground.
Yep.
It went underground. You know, it was shady people. It was all, you know, it created mobsters.
Right.
You know, Al Capone was created because of prohibition.
Right.
So what happens to all the drugs that are being farmed up from the cartels in Mexico if you just go ahead and make it legal in the States? Those guys don't have a fucking job, right?
They'd go
their shit's over.
Yeah, they'd go extinct. They'd be like, fuck, we don't need to go there anymore.
Right. So what other argument then do you have to not make it legal?
Right.
You know, I mean, if your reason for not making it legal is because of all the drugs coming from outside the country, make it fucking legal. They don't come over anymore.
Right. So let's fucking tell.
And then you have control over
so
it.
Let's,
and then you're not spending millions
on
arresting people for fucking bullshit.
Right.
And now you're making millions on the taxes for the shit that you're selling.
So I think
the downside to any of it?
We should just tell Colombia to stay home. Don't come over anymore.
Yeah. I mean, we're doing this on our own.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
I've got a cocaine dispensary and I don't fucking need you anymore.
I don't know how you're going to grow that shit here, but okay. I don't think we have the right environment for it. I don't know if that works.
Oh, well.
I don't know if that works. I tried. We'll start with, if we get everybody to smoke pot, nobody wants coke anyway.
Right? I just want fucking...
Unless they're lacing that shit.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you right now, fucking if they do legalize marijuana here, and I can do it, I will do edibles. I'll do edibles. But I'm telling you, fucking Frito-Lay better come out with a fucking extra, extra large bag of fucking Doritos, dude. Because fucking my local Maverick is going to go fucking out of business, dude.
Shit. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, edibles will fuck you up. That's a different kind of high.
Yeah. Dude, my girl was at a party. And this couple's handing out brownies, right? Sorry, baby. I got to tell this story because it's funny as fuck.
Oh, fuck. Fuck, yeah.
So my girl's by herself. She goes to her friend's house. And, you know, her friends, they like to
partake
in the
festivities. Well, they're in California,
festivities,
right?
Yeah. So they're very happy people. So this couple's passing out a fucking platter of brownies, right? And my girl fucking just, boom, picks one up and throws a whole one, right?
Luckily, it was just one, right?
Right. Well, the lady looked at her. Remember the Cheech and Chong movie where the fucking guy goes, Chong goes, and then fucking Cheech is like, what, man? What? He's all, dude, that's the most acid I've ever seen anybody take in my life. You know what I'm saying? She said she had that look on her face, right? Like, oh, you're going to be fucked up, right?
Yeah, like, oh, you ate that whole thing?
Yeah. So my girl was like, oh, yeah, fucking good, right? So, you know, an hour later, my girl's calling him on the phone.
These brownies taste very earthy.
Dude, because I live in Utah. She still lives in California. So we've got a long distance relationship right now. So she calls me up, and I think I'm at my buddy's house, dude, and I'm partying myself. She goes, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm so high right now. She goes, I have to go home. She goes, I need you to stay on the phone with me till I get home. Please stay on the phone with me till I get home. And I'm just like, fuck, you must be fucked up high. Like, fucking Jesus Christ. Dude, it fucking, it actually scared me because I was like, oh, are you okay to drive? She's like, I'm okay to drive. I'm okay to drive. I'm just really high. And I was like, fuck. Really, and I bet she has the best sleep she's ever had in her fucking life, dude.
Oh, yeah. Guarantee it.
Oh, fuck, dude. Funny. Guarantee it's funny it. As fuck, though.
That's fucking hilarious.
But anyways, yeah, I hope they do legalize it.
Yeah, at this point, I just don't see any reason not to.
Yeah, it's you can't stop it, dude.
The arguments have pretty much been proven, and you know, pretty much everybody at this point knows that anything that they were told in the past about how dangerous it is, and it's all bullshit.
It's bullshit.
Right?
It's harmless.
It was all made up. So
it's harmless.
At this point, I don't see it not. It just needs to happen faster, I think.
Yeah.
So, well, cool. I think that's a marijuana discussion, huh?
Yeah, it is.
So you want to get into some music stuff?
Yeah, I'm actually really excited for this.
Fuck yeah, me too. So, for those of you who listen, we're doing things a little bit different this time. I was able to do an interview with a band last weekend. It's a band called A Good Rogering from Austin.
So
what, you're gonna say something?
Well, no, because I've already pre-listened to the recording.
Okay.
So the girl that came up. Oh, I'm not even gonna say anything. No, let's just go ahead and roll it.
we can talk about it after.
Okay, let's talk about it after.
So we're gonna play the interview for you guys, and just to give a little heads up, for one, this is a little better audio than the interview I did last time. A little better. There's some background noise. There was like a bar or something upstairs that I actually didn't know was there until the girl started screaming and wouldn't shut the fuck up there. But you'll also notice my voice is a little bit weird. That's basically from yelling and singing along with the band when they played their show. And then I came out to do the interview and realized I didn't have a voice left. So anyway, here is my interview with A Good Rogering. Check these guys out.
Sweet, man. You guys are A Good Rogering.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Awesome.
Good Rogering.
So, first of all, fucking phenomenal show.
Thank you,
man. That was awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've only been listening to you guys for like a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Nonstop. Like your whole catalog, the whole fucking time.
Good to hear.
And I loved it. You guys sounded great live.
Oh, hi.
You're in our
interview.
What do you think of A Good Rogering? This is Samantha. What do you think of A Good Rogering?
I actually love it. It's one of the ones I post on my Instagram. I try to advertise for Scout, and it's not just the pretty players, but actually the music really brings them.
Not just a bunch of pretty faces. Awesome.
We're all about just being pretty. That's all.
That's it. That's right. That's happening, right?
Nothing else.
You gotta look good. Anymore, you don't have to be good. You just gotta look good.
I hate when people. We just played a back body.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that was all backing tracks. Y'all didn't catch all those.
No, it's
all
just a track. It doesn't matter.
That was a different version of EDM.
Yeah.
Just
trying to make
whole,
it look cool. But it's
the whole Milli Vanilli thing going on. No worries, right?
This is how we roll. It's complete chaos.
Total chaos.
I'm just getting berated by certain
individuals. Hey.
It's so annoying.
Hey. Who's gonna complain about that?
Exactly. Exactly. No one's complaining.
All right. So.
Take two.
Take
one's good. Believe it.
How long have you guys been a band? How long have you been together?
Oh, that's complicated.
So actually, 2018 is going to be a 10-year for the band.
Right.
With this current lineup, we've been rolling since October of 15.
Okay.
He came in December of 15?
No, he came in
Sammy. Sammy, 2 years, man.
It's been 2 years with this lineup.
Okay, cool.
And I love these guys.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Man.
Yeah, you know, seeing you guys on stage, like, you you play well together. Like, yeah. you're not just a bunch of guys on stage playing music. You know, it shows that you guys are, I mean, shit, you're sitting on a bench hugging each other right now.
We love each other.
More than that.
So it's good. Hey.
You can't see my left hand.
Luckily, everybody's wearing black.
No, for sure, man. No. We had a guy on tour, actually, in Louisiana. And it was awkward because, like, in the middle of our set when it's all nice and loud and really rocking, he walked up and kind of just crossed his arms. And I, even though he said it really quietly, I heard it clear as day, and he just goes, y'all work like a team, and then walked off.
Nice.
Like, he's right, man. Like, we do. Like, we get it. Like, we have to bring that performance every time, not only for ourselves, but obviously for the crowd. But if our energy isn't jiving,
right.
obviously yeah. everyone's going to be able
it's
to tell.
It's hard to project.
Yeah, it goes beyond that. It's, you know, I think it makes it easy on stage when you love each other as people. You know?
Right.
It's as simple as that, and I've been around long enough to know that, and I'm sure these guys have too. And it's like, man, that's what makes it so fucking awesome, you know, is that we can actually go on tour together and have a good time. It's fantastic.
Yeah, no, and there's so many bands out there that just don't have that. You know, it's right. cool to be a musician, but then
Absolutely.
You get into the tour situation, you're all stuck together.
It's another like, family, man.
It's
really is.
It's like moving in with your girlfriend that you weren't sure you wanted to move in with, right? You're stuck with them, and now you find out the truth. So that's cool to see that you guys get along so well.
We just
well.
Learn about everyone's quirks, but we learn to
I mean, it, like I said, it projects in your live performance that you guys get along as
Thank
well
you.
As you
Thanks.
Do. So that's cool. Why are you in a band?
What's
why,
up?
What?
Why are you in a band?
Why
I mean, beyond the obviously the girls.
Yeah,
I don't have anything else.
The free drugs are also cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just the
okay.
drugs and the sex.
Literally, if that's it was not for music, I would not be alive right now. Literally.
I do it for the gay porn.
Gay porn. I think that's all too familiar.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's just
that gay porn actually pays better than
gay porn. Gay, you know.
Yeah, this is a side gig to the gay
yeah,
porn.
Exactly.
All right.
You gotta pay the bills, man. You know, teach music.
Keep the lights on.
It's not a big market for gay porn these days. Now that it's legal and everything is fine, like it's
gay porn is like rock and roll in America.
Yeah.
It's not quite. It's not what it used to be.
It's like everything else.
We're trying to bring it back. Rock and roll.
You make it legal and it's kind of boring now.
Absolutely.
Except for leave.
Just the music
makes everything better.
If it wasn't just for the music, I wouldn't still be in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's like we're making a ton of money off of it. It's definitely for the love of it. And then, I was just talking to Aaron, from a good friend of ours from the Houston band Omega Point, and we're just talking about, man, it's just about the connection with people, man. You know, and just vibing and having that. And it's not about trying to cater to this or cater to that. It's just about that moment when you're sharing with somebody and you're just.
Yeah.
It's a cool thing, man. It transcends so many other things. And when you look at a lot of things like logically and logistically, you could really, you know, overshadow that. But in my mind, that single piece is such an awesome thing that it makes it worth continuing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool.
Inspiring other people.
Yeah, it's awesome. And it's a two-way street, man. I'm inspired by students. You know, a few of us teach, and we all work in different ways, you know. We're all musicians in all kinds of capacities, and I think it's like that connection and that universal language, man, is just it's a fucking cool thing.
Music speaks to everyone.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, it's recently with doing the podcast and stuff that we do, and I don't know how familiar you guys are with our show, but it's a conversation podcast, and then at the end of every show, me and my co-host, we present a couple songs that we're into for that week or whatever,
awesome.
And talk about why we're into them. And it's been kind of interesting to look at some of the songs that I've always liked and actually look a little more in-depth into them so I can talk about them and see what other people's opinions are of what that song's about, and then sometimes what the artist's opinion is of what it's about.
Yeah.
And kind of coming to realize that it doesn't matter.
Oh,
like,
man.
I get what I get from that song.
Absolutely.
And you get what you get, and you meant what you meant from it.
Yeah.
But it works for everybody, which is really cool.
That's one of my favorite things about music, man, is even though I may write some lyrics that resonate with me in a certain manner, they're going to resonate with someone else about a completely different situation,
right.
but it'll still make perfect sense
for them.
The fact
that it does is all
and
that matters, yeah.
Yeah, it's just really cool.
Very cool, very cool.
Universal, yeah.
Name two bands that you would want to tour with that you haven't.
Clutch?
Any two bands. Fucking A.
Clutch?
Dude.
And Tool.
Yeah.
And Tool would be my two.
I mean, fucking Clutch and Black Label are about to tour.
Oh,
just like,
my God, yes.
I'm just like, oh, my God, I'm fucking be on that tour.
I'm going to both shows.
People are like, are you going? I'm like, I want to tour with them. Fuck.
Yeah, we want to be on that ticket.
Right?
We want to go with them for sure.
Yeah.
For
me, Spice Girls.
Nice.
That's not going to happen.
That's a given. Yeah. Why are they still together, though? Or?
Oh, I don't know.
NSYNC.
Married with kids.
That would be a dream that I would never.
But see, he's just, he doesn't think practically. He wants these impossible
things. He said any.
Well, yeah, okay,
any
you're
man.
Right. I did say any.
It doesn't have to be.
It's just a fantasy. Yeah.
Well, this kind of fits into the whole gay porn thing.
I honestly think we would fit really well with NSYNC.
I actually
that's exactly the market.
Let me tell you, I saw Joey, whatever his name is, from NSYNC, get on stage with Steel Panther, and it was a beautiful thing.
Really?
Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome. Nice. They destroyed him and he sang with him. It was awesome. And then they had Ron Jeremy on there.
Nice.
And then like 2 days later, Ron Jeremy had a heart attack. But
wow.
No, it was great. So
crazy.
You're welcome, great. Steel Panther.
It was great.
I didn't mean the hedgehog having a heart attack, you know?
That was great.
You know, in all fairness, the guy's, you know, worked a lot. And he's a little obese, you know, so whatever. But anyway.
He's inspiration.
So I would have to say Faith No More. Everybody knows I'm a huge Faith No More fan. That would be a good one. And I think we'd be a good fit with Metallica. I think Megadeth. I think all those bands that inspired, well, me personally, and I think all of us that are just the old school, you know, thrash metal up to, you know what I mean? Like, dude, I would be honored to open for any of those bands. That would be like the pinnacle of awesomeness for me.
Absolutely.
But there's a zillion other bands I'd play with as well. You know?
Awesome. Very cool.
I'm not sure. Probably the same ones. I think like Testament or like Black Label Society would be the best ones. Good fits.
You guys are damn it. Yes. Yes. Name one of your songs that you feel best kind of sums up who you are as a band.
Caveman Angry.
Caveman Angry
is kind of our theme for sure. I think the song Lifeblood is a great one too.
Yep, very
good. That shows a good bit of dynamic, and obviously as a band we do that. Yeah, I mean, even the newest song, Five Ministries, even though it's not quite as aggressive, it just shows another side of us. But, you know,
I'm curious.
It's hard to put our finger on one, but I would honestly have to say Caveman Angry.
Curious to hear Rom's thought on that.
He likes Under the Gun.
Rom likes Under the Gun. I listened to that song, no shit, like four times back to back.
Nice.
Probably twice in the last 2 weeks.
Dude,
it's just
always,
like that.
He always says it's our best song. And it's
the
just,
fucking solos in that
time.
Song.
You can tell that the two of us are disappointed by not playing. You can.
I almost yelled it too. I was like, I want to hear that.
Under the Gun.
We're
like, oh God, we haven't rehearsed it.
You can tell that the two people that are really into NSYNC right here.
Yeah.
Under the Gun.
Yes. Y'all are
it's
NSYNC,
like,
I get
yes,
it.
We're NSYNC. It's perfect. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's pretty obvious it was inspired by JT.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. As a band, what do you guys consider success?
Oh, man. Waking up, breathing every day?
I think there's different types of success.
I
mean, financial success is obviously one that people know. I think just getting recognition in a big way, I guess you could just note it to just any emotional response you get from any human being. I mean, the fact that you're resonating with the music is
what
success.
Absolutely. That's what I was saying. It's that personal. But in a bigger, realistic, you know, to be able to do that, to have that connection with enough people that are willing to support you in a way that you are able to...
You can focus on this just as...
Well, yeah, that you can make a good living doing what you love. And growing that and expanding that and just connecting with more people and playing. I mean, recording music, playing music is not about, you know, I was just talking to someone yesterday about, you know, someone that kind of the typical, you know, don't know anything, you know, not to sound insulting, but, you know, teenage girl that's, you know, whatever the market, you know, is shoving in their face is, they all want to be Taylor Swift or whatever. Okay, I get it. But you know, I want to be famous. It's not about being famous. It's about being an artist. It's about being yourself. Finding a way to be yourself as an artist and monetize that to where you can make a living off that's success to me. You know, that's what I aspire to.
Yeah. I think it's all about having to resonate with people with your personal artistic statement.
Right.
Is, you know, it's like our way to make people listen to us. You know, if politicians have policies and agendas and speeches, we have the stage, the music, and our songs. And politicians can, you know, make millions of people follow them and so on, as leaders. I kind of see it the same way, and hopefully make a decent living out of it. Because unfortunately, we live in a world where you have to do that.
Right.
But
like what you're saying too, it can actually be an extremely powerful thing, and I think it actually transcends politics. In
of
the
course,
end, you know? It's almost nothing more powerful than
I mean, the
speech of
musicians
of art, you know?
Walls,
right.
Literally.
Yeah, I mean, you could easily take people with drastically different political views, and they like the same music.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's cool. It's a common thing that ties everyone together that way. I totally agree. So this is a question that actually comes from my co-host. I was like, dude, you have to listen to these guys. He's a guitar player. You know, he's into a lot of the same music that you guys are and that I am and all that stuff. And I was like, you have to check these guys out. And if you have any questions, you know, throw a question at me. And he wants to know, essentially, going through what sounds like kind of over the last 10 years or so, a pretty major, member change.
Yeah,
right? There's only one original member, right? Okay. How has that affected the direction of the band, what you started as with a goal, and how that's different now that you have different members?
It's just better. Everything about it is better. I had to go through a lot of stuff and learn, you know, and I think maybe that had to happen to get this here, to get this group of guys, and that makes it something in my mind now that I don't feel like in the past I ever maybe had the full level of confidence to really go all in. Now I do, and it's as simple as that. You know, not to discount anything about the past and the growing and the experience of the people I've worked with and written with, but this is the best it's ever been, and I couldn't be happier in person.
Musically, do you think you're looking in a different direction, or?
I think everyone brings their own dynamic to the table, and that's really cool. You know, and I like that, and I think it's just. The cool thing is that I think we're all, we're all experienced in our own ways, and none of us are sort of, I just started playing guitar and I just want to be in a, we've got experience. So you approach it in a particular way that I think makes it just easier to work, and you value what everybody brings to the table, and you just let each person's, you know, like NSYNC, basically. Like everyone, I know what he was thinking. I was just like, I think it's like we're NSYNC, is what I'm trying to say.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Literally NSYNC.
Okay. And would you say
more gay porn?
Back to the gay porn.
Saying,
would you say that as a group, you've kind of all been through similar past experiences to kind of get to a point where?
No, no way. He's from Israel, man. Like,
I'm as musicians.
Oh, as musicians,
lots of people.
Like, you and
he's
me,
from Israel.
But yeah, I mean, even as musicians, a lot of people think that music is only technical stuff. Like, oh, learn this song and, whatever. A lot of it is emotions and dynamics and stuff. So, as a person, the more people you know, the more places you go to, the more, you get more experience. You grow, you expand as a person, right? And also culturally as well. If a person grew up in one place and lived all his life in one place, he'll be just that. But if you travel the world and met people from all over the world, you'll be a different person.
Right.
So I think it's kind of the same way. Me personally, I played with a lot of bands and a lot of projects with, endless recording sessions. And I'm not even starting to talk about all the students that I taught. Every student that I teach influenced me as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we always, we grow. We grow all the time. So as a band, we grow as well. If you have a new person in the band goes to a different place. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Final question.
All right.
I'm going to break a rule.
Do it.
As an interviewer, I have a rule that I hate when other interviewers ask bands what their influences are.
Oh, no.
I'm going to break that rule for myself with you guys.
You already answered it.
Yeah. NSYNC. I'm sorry.
NSYNC.
We did go there.
Gayporn.
and the
biggest influence.
The reason I'm breaking it with you guys is because I feel like from a fan perspective, you guys wear your influences on your sleeve, but in the best possible way.
Thank you.
Every single song that I've listened to that you guys have played, I can pick out something that resonates familiar with me.
Okay.
To a band that I love or a band that I grew up or something I really like.
Yeah.
But I know you want to say something in just a second. You've made it your own thing.
Yeah.
But with that very familiar feel. And I just from the conversation we've already had, your influences are exactly what that is. I've heard you say it already.
Sure.
But I
there's a lot of others too, but those are the ones that you say they come out, you know.
Yeah, so there's a lot. I mean, I could think of a million others. Yeah.
I think it's a big thing about just like paying respect, man. Like obviously people before us have laid, you know, paths for musicians to follow in their footsteps. And even though some of my personal influences, like Tool, the band ISIS, not the crazy guys over in the Middle East, but the band ISIS.
Those guys are good too. Though.
Yeah,
they make good music as
It's insane. It's very...
it's unfortunate their music gets overshadowed.
It's literally... It's very composed
metal. Very composition, like old school classical style metal.
Yeah.
And it's very melodic and very well written. And so even though some of my influences don't necessarily bleed into this band, they've actually introduced me to a lot of music that I realized I was influenced by but didn't quite know. And so it was really cool to see, like, we played Black Number One tonight by Typo Negative.
God,
he tried to introduce that song.
Well,
I hated it. I was just
really?
I really did.
It hurt my soul. The mean things.
And then the thing that helped me kind of realize what was really happening was that I started to realize that they, in a sense, are a bit of a parody. And then I was just like, oh my God, this is fucking genius.
Right?
Like, it's fucking, it's genius.
Yeah.
Man. And so from that point forth, I think even for things that I maybe don't like up front, once I kind of research it a little bit and see what that band is actually about, I would always end up digging it.
Yeah. Having an open
Megadeth.
Mind is so crucial.
What's up?
What about Megadeth?
I like Megadeth now. I didn't like Megadeth when I started in this band.
Really?
Either.
It's like it would be a misnomer to think that we like seriously that didn't like pop or didn't like anything. I listen to jazz all the time. I played, you know, I try to play some jazz.
Fucking love
classical.
Michael Jackson. I listen to everything.
Yeah.
Really.
Anyway, Rick, you were dying to say something.
Yeah, sorry. We all kind of cut
off. I mean, I guess we kind of talked about it, but I was going to say, when you say that you can hear influences, I'm just curious, what are some bands that you hear most?
That I hear?
Most prominent.
I mean, I can pick out, obviously, the guitar is Marty Friedman era Megadeth. Like, there's a lot of that.
Is that from me?
We both love that.
In the solo, like the solo for Under a Gun.
Right.
I mean, it screams Megadeth, you know, Marty Friedman Megadeth to me. I'm like, that's
those bins and
so that stuff, right? I hear Testament, I hear Clutch, I hear Five Horse Johnson. You know, there's just there. You know, you're. I what caught me the most with you guys, I think, was the description of your band on Instagram. Mm. Is Mr. Bungle to Beethoven.
Right.
I hear some Mr. Bungle in some of your earlier stuff.
Right.
Maybe not so much in your newer stuff, but definitely in the earlier stuff. So, you know, that's just a few that I can even think of off the top of my head.
It's cool, man. I would say I would throw Metallica in there. Skid Row, which we actually got to open for them. So that was
really?
Really cool.
Yeah, that was a huge
cool.
influence for me when I first started playing guitar, man. Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, all of that kind of
I don't think anyone would ever say we sound like Guns N' Roses, but, you know, I mean, there's so many influences. I mean, obviously the hard rock metal stuff, but...
Yeah.
So you don't hear the NSYNC?
Now that I think about it, maybe a little.
The chorus.
Are we more in sync or more Spice Girls?
Yeah.
That's mostly
when you're
really
all singing at the same time.
I
kind of get it.
The in sync when you listen just to the drums. When you hear the drums, it's really in sync.
When you hear those tritones, you're like, that's
when you listen to the hi-hat, you're like, that guy listens to Spice Girls.
And even though it's not necessarily up the same alley, I turned him onto a band called Opeth a little more recently. And like, I want to see more of that style come into the stuff we're going to be writing, because those dudes are just on a different fucking level.
Well,
and we got to see them live too.
Yeah,
it's
like when you mentioned Mr. Bungle or Opeth, those kind of bands are so unbelievably eclectic.
Yeah.
You know, or Zappa or something. And that stuff, that's always been like a passion to me, to like really
push the limits,
you know, and like fusion in the truest sense, you know, and making it an interesting
Eddie.
some moments it's beautiful and melodic, and other moments it's screaming and yelling and horrible chaos, and I think that's just awesome. Or it could be insane. There's nothing wrong with a fantastic pop song. We have a funk. Check out Mr. Peanut. We got an old 70s throwback funk song we're going to re-release probably over the holidays.
All right, cool.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, we kind of pay homage to a lot of different stuff, you know.
So I have to say this. I don't know how to say it exactly. I don't want to take it the wrong way.
Wrong way.
Anyway, y'all suck.
Personally,
thanks for the interpersonally.
Personally,
you guys are shit.
I don't like Mastodon.
Okay.
I know a lot of people love Mastodon.
I don't either.
What was interesting?
I don't like it either.
Actually,
someone else just came on stage and said,
they sound like Mastodon.
So here, I'm not going to say you sound like Mastodon. I'm going to say that you are what Mastodon should be.
Oh, that's horrible.
That's for me, because I want to like Mastodon. And I'll tell you why. Because I want to like Mastodon. And to me, they're I like jazz. I know you like jazz. They're kind of like jazz, but like a metal version of it.
Yeah.
And I can't follow all of it. Like, they do this really incredible stuff.
Well, let me say that.
And they move all over the place, but they never come back to that root that holds them, that holds you in the song.
And that's, dude, it's
the latest is like, is that, but in a.
I really look at this band the same way, and I think we had some, you know, reasonably. I think we've had a like catchy little thing here and there, but overall, I wouldn't say it was the most melodic, catchy type music. Like you said, it's guitar, bass, it's metal, it's interesting. It's, you know, I think it lends itself to a cool niche, you know, sort of thing or whatever, that NSYNC fans will resonate with in particular. But it's like, I see the same thing with Mastodon when I saw them live years ago and I listened to some of their older albums. I was like, man, like, it's cool, I appreciate it, but it's like really hard, it's really hard to digest.
Yeah.
And then, but like Ram just said, like moving into their newer stuff, which is actually, I would say, for lack of a better word, more poppy. It's just more polished. It's hooky. It's catchy. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I want this band to do that plus, you know, I love a 50-50, like, wow, that's such a beautiful melody. It's really a radio-friendly, just great song, but also something that's just, like,
brutal and
just disgusting
face.
And, like, awful and makes you uncomfortable, you know? Yeah.
See, and I'm cool with that. And what I think I like about you guys is that you have the hook, the good rhythms and hook stuff, and you can kind of move out and experiment a little in a song, but then come back to that to keep me in it.
Yeah,
and that's what I feel like Mastodon doesn't do. So when I say that you guys are what Mastodon should be, that's what I mean by that.
Well,
I mean it as a compliment. Whether you take it that way or you don't, how I mean it. So.
We're just going to go and kill ourselves a little
bit. Please don't. Please don't. Well, if it's only a little, I'm okay with that. Not all the way.
Just a little bit.
Only a little.
We good?
All right, guys. Yeah, we're good.
Chris,
I know you got to get out of here.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for hanging
appreciate
out.
It,
excellent show once
appreciate
again. It was great meeting you guys.
I can't wait to come do the podcast, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Great meeting you, man.
Yeah, you too, man. Thanks.
Cool.
Chris.
It's fantastic meeting you guys. I can't wait to see you guys play again.
Inspired us, man.
Thank you,
awesome.
See you later,
brother.
Yeah. So that was my interview with a good Rogering.
Did I... I was hoping that you would have asked him, what does a good Rogering mean?
Oh, yeah. You know, I kind of didn't really think about that. I mean, I don't know what a Rogering is. Like, you know, I think, isn't a Rogering kind of like a practical joke or a good joke? You know, it's kind of a, I think it's like an English or British term or something, right? Kind of like, you know, a shagging,
know,
but it's like a Rogering, like, hey, I'm just Rogering you, like Josh.
A Rogering sounds like a tickle, you know,
yeah,
a tickle in a certain spot, you know.
Give it a good Rogering.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. My wife actually bought one of their tank tops.
Uh-huh.
And it just says across the
a
front,
good
Rog- I
yeah.
love I a love good a good Rogering.
Rogering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty
I
cool.
saw that on their Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah,
and,
that's pretty good.
That's why I was wondering if that's the girl that came up to you at the beginning. Was that the girl that's on their Instagram page that was wearing
no,
a, okay.
No. She was one of the bartenders at that bar.
Okay.
One of the servers or whatever. Yeah, she was cool. She just popped up out of nowhere. I don't even know where she came from. She just like was there all of a sudden.
Right.
Like, well, what's going on?
Right.
So no, it was cool. Super cool band. If you get the opportunity to check those guys out. I know that, you know, they've got their stuff on Jesus, what is it? Oh, you can go to their website, which is agoodrogering.com. But they're also on like Google and iTunes and all that stuff. You can find their albums. They've got three albums out right now, and those guys are just awesome. Like I said, if you go to their earlier stuff, it's kind of, you know, it's always like hard rock, some metal, you know, you can hear some kind of maybe Mr. Bunglish sort of influences. And as you kind of move through their albums to get to the newer stuff, they get a little heavier and a little more metal, but they're fucking, those guys are awesome and really cool people too. Yeah. I mean, you know, we kind of hung out off and on like all night, and those guys were just super cool.
Well, being in a band, being in tune with your band members is half the fucking battle, bro.
Well, yeah. No matter how good of a musician you are, if you get on stage and you're not, you know, like he said, in sync, right, you know, pardon the pun, with everybody else that's on there, and you guys aren't all having a good time together, the audience can fucking feel that energy 100%.
Well, you know, it's funny because I've been in bands where, you know, you don't like somebody or they're just on your last nerve and you just can't stand being around them. But when you get on stage, it's a total different story. But how often are you on stage versus when you're in rehearsal, when you're in the studio? Yeah. I mean,
as a band, you spend a lot more time not on stage.
And that's, you know, for me, that was what was the total outcome, was being on stage and be able to perform and showcase what I've got and showcase the band and, you know, just being able to let loose. But, you know, when I'm fucking drinking whiskeys, fucking sours all night because I just can't stand being around somebody, it's like, it's hard. That's hard. It's hard, you know? And that's
right.
And you can tell these guys they're in sync with one another. And that's a good thing. You know, that's a really good thing. And they'll probably be together for a long fucking time. You know,
it's obvious that these guys enjoy
doing
what they do as a group. Right. So definitely worth checking out.
Fuck yeah.
And, you know, I said, these guys are pretty badass. Yeah. In fact, we will probably be doing some more stuff with these guys in the future.
Good.
We're in talks, and we got a little, I know at least, the singer guitarist, his name is Skunk, that he's already expressed some interest. He'd like to come in and sit in on the show.
Nice.
And do a whole show
with
us.
That'd be fun. That'd be great.
He's kind of maybe hinted to the fact that maybe even the whole band might come and sit in with us and do a conversation. So we'll see how that works out. They've got a show in the Houston area, I think February 3rd, they've got something scheduled.
Uh-huh.
So we'll probably be doing something around that time.
Nice.
It sounds like it.
Nice.
So, yeah. Definitely a cool bunch of guys. So go check them out, agoodrogering.com. After you do that, you can check us out at unrestrictedpodcast.com. You can hit those guys up on Instagram as well, at agoodrogering on Instagram. You can hit us up at unrestrictedpodcast on Instagram. And I think that's pretty much our show.
Yeah, fun. I'm going to go grab another 32 ounce.
Well, yeah, rock and roll. All right, we're out.
Peace.